Well, we're in Proverbs 8 this morning. This is our seventh lesson in Proverbs, and we want to continue with Proverbs 8, 22 through 35. Proverbs 8, 22 through 35. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Now, wisdom is talking here. This is the voice of wisdom. And as we saw in the beginning part of this chapter, wisdom is in the feminine form here. And she says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now we see that the activities of this passage begin before the creation of all that we see. It begins before the creation of the stars, the planets, space, this earth, you and I, all the animals, all the plants. They proceed through the creation. This passage proceeds through the creation of all that we see. And then it culminates in the activity concerning the sons of men, you and I. And we see that the voice of wisdom here is speaking as it has been throughout this chapter of Proverbs. For we know that the chapter 8 of Proverbs is the voice of wisdom speaking to the sons of men, and that speech concerns wisdom's desire for men to love her. You know, God wants you to love wisdom. One thing that I know is that Christianity is not a religion of ignorance. You know, there are some religions of ignorance, and one of the desires of that religion is to keep its people ignorant, but that's not true with Christianity. This chapter tells us that wisdom desires that you love her. Now, this passage tells us that wisdom precedes all of the Lord's creation, and because of this, precedes the life of man on earth. This passage tells us that before the worlds were framed, wisdom was there to frame the worlds. This passage tells us that the worlds came into being not of themselves, but of another. This is anti-science today, or so-called science. Somehow, science and evolution have come up with the fact that the worlds frame themselves. All that you see came into being by some means, but certainly not the means of wisdom or God. Now, this passage begins by telling us that the Lord, and you'll note that that Lord is in capital letters, which means that that's talking about Jehovah. And Jehovah means self-existent. Now, you're not self-existent. You had a beginning. But something that is self-existent had no beginning. We can't fathom that. I can't fathom that. I always think of things having a beginning. My life began at a certain hour, at a certain day, at a certain year. And so did you. One day, your mother held you in her arms and showed you to others and said, "This is the beginning of this child's life." But never was that the case with our God. For God, Jehovah, is the self-existent one. And we're told in this passage that he possessed wisdom in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. Now, this very thought should remind us of the passage in the Gospel of John, which tells us about the Word that was in the beginning with God. We read in John 1, 1 through 4, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." And then to emphasize that, the writer of the book of John says this, "And without him was not anything made that was made." All things were made by the Word. "And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." The life force of this universe is the Word of God. So we see here that wisdom and the Word are one, for God is wisdom and the Word is wisdom. We know that Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. That means wisdom in a person. But we also are told here that wisdom was before Jesus Christ in human form. Wisdom was in the beginning with God. The Word was in the beginning with God. The Word emanates from wisdom. Wisdom was there when the Word spoke the worlds into existence. The Word proceeded from wisdom. The Word spoke the words because of wisdom. Now, the plurality of creators is expressed in Genesis 1, where we are introduced to a God who refers to himself as us. The first mention of the plurality of creators. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Now, some fishermen say, "Boy, that's not working with me." But you know, fish don't catch men. Men catch fish. "And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, in the second verse of Genesis, one part of that which is expressed as us is introduced as the Spirit of God. Now, in our passage today, the remaining part of that which is expressed as us is called wisdom. In the book of John, he is called the Word. The clear teaching of Scripture is that all three are one. All three are one. Now, this truth is reflected in us. And it should be clear to us who are created in the image of God and enjoy a body, a soul, and a spirit. All three. And yet we are one. Gives us a little bit of understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three are one. An individual, indivisible. We think they're indivisible. Of course, the Scriptures tell us that the sword of the Spirit is able to divide the soul and the spirit. And then we know from scriptures that we're going to be absent from the body, but that absence is not for long, because in Christ we'll be given a new body, again to be wholly one, body, soul, and spirit. So God is three in one, and we being made in the image of God are also three in one. John reported that Jesus told us that he and the Father were one. He prayed in John 17:5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." I and my Father are one. He called on no angels to do this, because he was before the angels. We see in John 1:18 that oneness of the Father and the Son, a oneness. "No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." No closer union than being in the bosom of the Father. We can look at it this way. God is wisdom. God is Word. God is Spirit. God the Word is the expression of wisdom. God the Word formed the worlds by wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." You know, this universe that we live in, this creation that we live in, is ordered by wisdom. This is not a chaotic creation. This is a creation that is within and operates within the wisdom of God. Wisdom was there from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, we're told. Wisdom preceded the depths. Wisdom preceded the fountains, the mountains, and the hills. Wisdom watched as the heavens were prepared. She was there as the circle of the earth was formed. As the clouds above took their places, wisdom was that which the Word used to speak them into existence, all within the framework of the wisdom of God. Wisdom decreed the confining borders of the seas. You know, it's amazing. You go down to the ocean, what a little fluctuation that ocean has, and so big. You know, you try to take a shallow pan from the stove to the counter. You ever done that? We used to have an ice box when I was a boy. See, I'm as old as the dirt. But those of you that have never had an ice box never have had to empty out the water pan at the bottom of the ice box. You know, ice melts and ice has to go somewhere. And you had to go out under the ice box on a daily basis and empty the water in the pan. And the pan was always shallow because it had to get under the ice box. And you'd go under there, and as a child, it was very difficult. I don't know how the adults did it, but you'd go under there and you'd have to take it to the sink. And invariably, you'd spill that water. And look at the oceans. Now, the oceans from time to time overspill, a tsunami. But look at how he has corralled the oceans. You go out on the beach, those waves come up a little bit and little, just a minuscule amount compared to the depths of the sea. So wisdom decreed the confining borders of the sea, and the word instructed the waters that they should not pass their limits. You know, that ocean's obedient to God. God says, now you don't pass these limits. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I won't pass those limits unless you tell me to. Every once in a while, there's something, a hurricane comes in or some other part of God's forces, and he allows that ocean and those seas to go past those prescribed limits. But wisdom defined the foundations of the earth, and the word set them in place. Wisdom said, now I want this earth to be this way, this way, this way, and the word says, let it be. Wisdom is eternal, but she is also the active agent in that creation, for all created systems operate within the wisdom of God. You know, you walked in here this morning. You walked in wisdom. All your parts were working together because of wisdom. When you talked, all your parts were working together. All your bodily systems function because of God's wisdom. Everything that you see, everything that you feel and touch and smell or hear complies with God's wisdom. We read of this in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He didn't walk away from his creation. Some people say, oh yes, I believe in a God, but I think he just made it and went to sleep. Walked away from his creation. No, he's the glue that holds it all together. All those atoms and molecules in your body and all those things going on in this room and outside in the forests are held there by God, and by him all things consist. For by him were all things created, means that they were created when Jesus Christ was called the Word, when he was without flesh. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. My God has it all together for us to see things that came from things that didn't appear. And they were all created within the framework of the wisdom of God. And we see this in Proverbs 8:30. When I was by him, wisdom is continuing to speak. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. I was daily his delight. Is the wisdom of God daily your delight? We're created in the image of God, and therefore the wisdom of God should be daily our delight. Now here in this passage, we see a personalization of wisdom as one who is a son. The Father delights in his Son as the Father delights in his Word. His Son rejoices in the delight of his Father. You know, that's a wonderful thing, that if you can get that into your sons and into your daughters, do they rejoice in the delight of their Father? Do they think about their behavior delighting their Father? Is that put into them by the Father? Is that something that the Father takes pleasure in doing? That my child will rejoice in my delight. But he also delights in that which he brought forth by the word of the Father, the earth and the sons of men upon the earth. Do you know that God delights in his creation? God delights in everything that he does, and he especially, we're reminded in this passage that he delights in his creation. He delights in the sons of men. Now, this mutual satisfaction emanates from a delight that the eternal purposes of God are being carried out in perfect unison. We've been told in verse 22, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old." You know, there's never been a discord in the family. All is well in the family and delight reigns. This is the accord that was evident in the instruction of Isaiah 42:1, "To behold my servant, whom I uphold." God the Father was talking about his Son, wisdom personified. "Behold my servant." Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Put your eyes on the Word of God, "mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." This delight was also heard from heaven when the Son, the Word of God, was incarnate in Jesus Christ. Remember that passage in Matthew 3:17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, you fathers will attend perhaps the graduation of your son. I'm not discounting daughters here, I'm talking about sons. But you fathers will attend the graduation of your son from high school or college, and there will be something in your heart that says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." You know, that's our desire as fathers, is it not? But you know, it takes work to make that happen. You just can't be a plaything. But that's what Jesus Christ heard as he went about the business of his Father. He heard those words of delight from his Father. Have you ever had one of your plans come together in such a way that it brought you delight? You know, Mrs. Hobbs writes books, and I can imagine that after the book is all done, she takes some delight in it. She doesn't tell us, but I would think that an author would take some delight in the book that she's written. I hold on to this pulpit, and I take delight in holding on to this pulpit. But you know, perhaps you've had something pertaining to your family that just came together in such a way that brought extreme happiness to you. And I think if you think upon this, you'll all come to that conclusion. There was times and maybe a time that just everything came together and you said, "Oh, this is so wonderful." You know, really, you ought to have this kind of delight on a regular basis as you sit around the table with your family and everyone's healthy and there's food on the table and the rain is pouring on your roof and you have no leaks. I thank the Lord every time we have rain. Lord, thank you. No leaks. No leaks today. Got a new roof, so I hope I don't have any leaks. But this is what is being expressed here in this passage. As the sun is rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth and having enjoyment with the sons of men, we are told in the book of Genesis that God created man in his image, created he them male and female. You know, you think about this. What a great gift that is to be created in the image of God. You ever thought about that? He took his image and he said, I want to create someone and give them this image. And that was you and me. He blessed them. He told them to be fruitful. He told them to multiply. He told them to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and to have dominion over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And once he had done this, we're told in the scriptures, he looked around and he said, it's all good. Everything I've done is good. I'm delighting in that which I've created. He delighted in his work. He enjoyed what he had done. He had created men in the image of God, free to stand or fall. You know, your free will is a marvelous thing. I don't know how God did it. But I've got free will to stand or to fall. God's free. God's free. No bindings around God. And God did the same thing with you, gave you freedom. Now, we know that this free will resulted in man's ruin, but even in that, God's plan will result in man's salvation and elevation. God will see to it. God never fails. Even in free will, God never fails. For God's plan even included the bruising of the serpent's head and the destruction of the kingdom of Satan. God's plan included the sending of the one who brought all of this creation into being, the sending of his own son to endure the shame of this sin-cursed earth in order for the Father's perfect plan to be realized. God knew what had to be done. Hebrews 2:16 says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Had to be made a man in order to redeem man. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Those that were made in the image of God were his brethren. Why were they his brethren? Because they were made in the image of God. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know, the Father's business, about which Jesus Christ spent his life on this earth, delights the Father as it is carried out. This delight continues throughout all eternity as the Son rejoices and delights in the sons of men. That's what we're told in this passage. God delights in his creation. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, the Father has foreordained it in his plan to dwell with men. This means that he has chosen to make men his temple. And that choice required the exchange of the throne of glory for the cross of shame. But one thing we can be sure of is that God's plan cannot be thwarted. And his plan included the joy that was set before him. We're told that in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, that's one thing about faith. You better have faith in order to endure. If you don't have any faith, you're not going to endure. Jesus Christ taught us that here in this passage. He said, oh yes, I've got the cross to go through. Oh, it's going to be the most horrible thing that I've ever gone through, but I'm looking forward to the joy that's set before me. And you know, as you live this life here, that's what faith ought to bring your mind, the joy that's set before you. Yes, it's a tough go sometimes on this earth. We've got it pretty easy relative to much of the church. But he endured the cross because he looked for the joy. He despised the shame, but he's going to be set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we're also told this in Philippians 2:8 through 11. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, to die is one thing, but to die on the cross, that's another thing that's hard to grasp. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now all of this was accomplished by the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word, wisdom personified, in order that the Father's creation plan would be realized in total and in perfection. And the intention of God is to rejoice in the habitable part of his earth and have eternal delights with that which he has created, the sons of men. And it took the death, it took the burial, it took the resurrection of his only begotten Son to accomplish this. But God will have his way, and his perfect creation will be realized. That's what we're told in this passage in Proverbs. God delights in the sons of men. God delights in his creation. You know, we look at the sunset and we look at the beauty of this earth, the beauty of space, the beauty of the stars, but we forget that God delights in those things. That's what they're there for. His delights. And as his sons and daughters in Christ, we're allowed to delight in them also. But the main purpose of all that creation is for God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to delight in that wonderful creation. Father, we're so thankful for the book of Proverbs and this passage, which reminds us of the love of God and wisdom personified, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was an expression of that love as he willingly went to the cross, but knowing the joy that was set before him. And he endured the shame because he knew what was ahead. And Lord, help us to have that kind of spirit and attitude as we go through this life. Perhaps there will be shame. Perhaps there will be difficulty in our lives. But help us by faith to look beyond that, Father, and to know that there's joy that's set before us. Bless us now, Father, as we go to our service. May our pastor give us some bread to eat, that we might go from here filled with the Word of God. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.